Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
All right, let's talk about this. This is where I think, if you are Matt Nagy, and let's say that I'm sure this happened, right? Like, I have year-end review. I actually had mine earlier today. Rob, you have a year-end review. Everybody has a year-end review. And let's say that Matt Nagy has one once the season is over. And it's not with Brett Veach, it's with the big boss. You know, he goes in to talk to Clark Hunt. And Clark Hunt is going through all of his things and, you know, determining what changes you're going to make. I mean, you're the person paying for all of this stuff. You get to make the final decision. You're the boss man. And Clark Hunt goes to Matt Nagy and he says, you know what? Hey, we've had great success. You're right. But I'm unhappy with some way the things are going. Why do you think that this offense has been ranked 15th in points scored for each of the last three seasons? I wonder what Matt Nagy's answer would be for that. But the biggest knock I would say on Matt Nagy is this. I would say that when the Patriots were cooking, if you could get to be the offensive or defensive coordinator for New England, you guaranteed yourself a head coaching job. I can go through the list if you want. You want to know who their offensive coordinator was the year they won the Super Bowl, the first one, the one against the Patriots, or the one against the Packers, excuse me? You want to know who it was against? Or the Rams. That's actually who it was against. Against the Rams. You want to know who it was against? It was Charlie Weiss. How did things work out for Charlie Weiss? Charlie Weiss got the Notre Dame job, got the Florida job. Charlie Weiss turned it into something. You want to know who their defensive coordinator was during that time? It was Romeo Crennel. Now, Rob, we can take it one step further. When Charlie Weiss was done being the offensive coordinator, he wasn't there for that long. You want to know who took over the offense next? Josh McDaniels. How did that work out for Josh McDaniels? He was able to turn that into and pair that into a head coaching job in the National Football League. Josh McDaniels was only the offensive coordinator for the Patriots for those 3 years, and then he got the Broncos job. You want to know who the offensive coordinator was after Josh McDaniels?
Was it Bill O'Brien?
Bill O'Brien. How did that work out for Bill O'Brien? Bill O'Brien did it for one season. And Bill O'Brien was able to finesse that and turn that into a head coaching job. We can go through the defensive coordinators, Eric Mangini, Matt Patricia. If you could get to the point where you could be the offensive or defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, it guaranteed that you were next up. You are one of the next people to get a head coaching job. The fact that Matt Nagy has been the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs for 3 years and seems to have very minimal buzz as a head coaching candidate tells me everything I need to know about the job that he's doing when you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to stand next to. This should be a job that you do for 2-3 years. It looks really good on your resume. You build up some hype. You build up some buzz. And the next thing you know, wham, you are the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. You're the head coach of the New York Giants. Right now, Rob, it's going to be, what, 5-6 openings? Would you say that Matt Nagy is the favorite for any of those jobs? Does Matt Nagy have his pick? Is he a hot candidate? Those candidates always pop up every single coaching cycle. Hey, this is the coach that everybody wants. Does everybody want Matt Nagy to be their next head coach? I think Bomani said this when he was on the show a couple of days ago. Anytime you got a guy that only you want, that's usually a problem. Tomorrow, if Spags stopped being the defensive coordinator, Spags could go be another defensive coordinator in an instant. He doesn't need to just be Kansas City's. Other teams would fire their defensive coordinator to hire Steve Spagnuolo to be theirs. And you know he would come in and turn things around. Look at the rest of the league. When those guys are open, they are not available for very long. Would another team hire Matt Nagy to be their OC? Tomorrow, if the Chiefs said, Matt Nagy, we appreciate everything you've done, but we are happy to let you walk out. Do you think that Matt Nagy is another offensive coordinator in the league for next season? Because I'm not sure if a team takes another chance on Matt Nagy. So if you want to like point to the kind of job that you think he has done so far, I think that's it. If you haven't turned this into something bigger and better after 3 years, you haven't taken full advantage of the opportunity that you have been given. This should be one of the easiest jobs in the National Football League. You don't call the plays, and you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes there. Hey, put together some good game plans. Show some guys develop. Have a good attitude. Andy's going to put a good word in for you. Andy has a history and a track record of getting guys job. He's already helped get you a job in the past. This was his reclamation project. This was his, I failed in the first time, but it wasn't my fault. Let me come back to Kansas City. Let me knock this out of the park, and then let me go be an offensive coordinator somewhere else. That's what this job was supposed to be for Matt Nagy. That is just not how it's gone so far for him.
I understand your point, but let me ask you this. Can you say a lot of the same things for Steve Spagnuolo? And can you say a lot of the same things for Eric Bieniemy when he was offensive coordinator? Like, Steve Spagnuolo has built one of the best defenses in the NFL. He's been here since 2019. He has been a part of all the success. Has he ever been a hot coaching name with the Chiefs? We can go offensive coordinator for offensive coordinator. Eric Bieniemy. Now, he got head coaching interviews, never got the job, and then when his contract expired in Kansas City, he was an OC in Washington and then UCLA, and now he's a running back coach. So is this a Matt Nagy problem? And I'm not trying to defend Matt Nagy. I also don't want Matt Nagy as the offensive coordinator next year. But can't your point about Matt Nagy be also said about other coordinators in the Andy coaching sphere? Is it possible that maybe Andy isn't giving a glowing recommendation, or there's a thought that the way Andy does it is not correct because Spags and Bieniemy were not the sexy names on the street the same way Matt Nagy has never been the sexy name in the streets?
I guess to answer the question, at least when it comes to Steve Spagnuolo, the only reason why I think Spags is still the defensive coordinator is an age thing. I mean, Spags is 65. If Spags was 45, Spags is out of here. You're an incredible defensive coordinator. You absolutely get a job. He'd be looked at like he's D'Amico Ryans. He'd be looked at like one of those guys. I mean, at one point, he was that guy. He was a great defensive coordinator, and he has had multiple chances to be a head coach. It just hasn't worked out for him in the league as a head coach. But let's say that Spags was 51 years old. Spags would absolutely have a chance. Matt Nagy is still relatively young in a coaching sense. He's 47 years old. Now, he's not some spring chicken, but it's not like you can't hire Matt Nagy and think that he can't be your next head coach for the next 10 years or so. He absolutely could be those things. But when you've been the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs and you've had Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, when you had all of those things and you've been ranked 15th in offense year after year after year, wait, you're telling me you couldn't build up Kansas City's offense? How can I expect you to come here and build up Miami's offense? How can I expect you to come here and turn Kyler Murray's career around? That's where I think Nagy is really running into the problem. I don't know any place that you would consider Matt Nagy to be a fit, maybe outside of Tennessee. Like, somebody's going to have to take that job, and I don't think it's a super desirable job. But right now, if you're the Giants, for example, are you hiring Matt Nagy? Like, do you trust Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo, and Malik Nabers with Matt Nagy for the next three seasons? Because the answer for me would be a firm no.
I'm not even sure he's a candidate. I know Dan Arcini has reported he's a candidate for the Titans job. If I'm the Titans, are you giving Matt Nagy to Cam Ward? Are you saying, here are the keys, go make Cam Ward a thing? You couldn't make Patrick Mahomes the best of his ability, but now go get him with Cam Ward? Like, I know he is a candidate there, but it would surprise me if he got the Titans job. I don't think he's a real viable candidate anywhere. I think your point is valid about Spags' age, but it is weird. You don't see a lot of defensive coordinators or coordinators in general stick somewhere 7, 8, 9 years.
No, for sure. And I mean, I think when it comes to Eric Bieniemy, and I certainly wanted Eric Bieniemy to get his chance as a head coach in the league. I mean, I do think it's kind of telling the fact that it's not like since he's left Kansas City, he's really stuck somewhere. He's coached at three different jobs the last 3 years. He was for the Commanders for the one season. He then got let go. He then went to UCLA. He then got let go. He now is in Chicago. Maybe Eric Bieniemy is just a really good running back coach. And I'm not saying that as a slight, but if you look at their run game and you look at Kyle Manungai, who was a seventh round pick, and you got Eric Bieniemy as his coach, like, I'm pointing to player development right there. And we see sometimes there's coordinators like that. There's guys who are just great defensive line guys, and you look at him and you can point to the 5-6 defensive linemen. They got better under his care. They got better under his tutelage. Maybe the fact about Eric Bieniemy is he's just a really good positional coach. He's just a really good offensive mind voice to be a part of something, but he's just not ready to be your team CEO. He's just not ready to be in charge.
It's definitely possible. I would say, I'm not trying to sit here and defend, re-legislate old things and, you know, rehash old things. If I was Eric Bieniemy's agent, I would point to his time as offensive coordinator with the Chiefs as, look, he can be a good coordinator and coordinators get a chance. I do agree he's an elite running back coach, but he was a good offensive coordinator in Kansas City, which we've now seen as a valuable trait, as the one they have now is not as good.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting. This Matt Nagy thing was supposed to be a layup. It was honestly supposed to be a layup. You went to Chicago, you got let go, Andy brings you in, takes care of you, gives you, I mean, one of the premier jobs in the National Football League. Honestly, being the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs is one of the best jobs that you can have in the sport. You get to work with Andy, you get to work with Pat, your team wins all the time. It's one of the best jobs you can have. And if you're trying to get back to being a head coach, I can't think of too many better jobs in all of football that you would think would be the instant pathway to do well at this spot. I will get another chance. And the fact that Matt Nagy is not in that position to tell you how he's gone. And I don't know how you can justify Matt Nagy coming back for next year. I'm not the one ultimately that makes that decision, but if you're Andy, if you're Clark Hunt, and you were looking at the body of work since he's been here. He's been here for 3 years. They've been 15th every single time. You cannot sell me new and different and overhaul, and we got to make adjustments and we got to make changes. You can't tell me that if Matt Nagy's hand is over the offense in whatever capacity it's been, whether you think he's calling the plays, whether you think he's a part of the game planning, whether you think it's designing, scheming, adjustments, whatever it is, you cannot continue to have that person in charge of it based off the results of what we have seen so far. If you're going to be new and fresh, then you got to be new and fresh, and you can't continue to do that with the same offensive coordinator that you've had. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We have a lot to get into in today's show. Let's talk a little bit about one of the top stories right now in the National Football League. I don't want to paint it like this is the top story in the league, but the Miami Dolphins are making a change at the quarterback position. Here's the latest from Ian Rappaport.
Tua Tagovailoa, their starting quarterback for the last several years, is heading to the bench, and sources tell the insiders Quinn Ewers, the former seventh rounder from the University of Texas, is going to make the start for the Cincinnati Bengals. All parties have been informed by Coach Mike McDaniel. It is official. Quinn Ewers does get the start. Now, Mike McDaniel has said after the Miami Dolphins fell out of playoff contention on Monday, their playoff hopes officially ended, that everything was on the table to get this offense functioning like it should be. Tua for sure has had his moments this year, but more often than not, he has struggled. Too many interceptions, too much inefficiency. McDaniel's looking for more, and he had a couple different options. Zach Wilson, the former Jet starter, has been the backup for most of the year. He has really impressed behind the scenes and has certainly jumped out for this coaching staff as someone who would make a significant difference on offense. Quinn Ewers now set to get the start, and obviously, this causes major, major questions about the future of Tua Tagovailoa in the Dolphins organization. Certainly seems more than possible they'll move on from him after the season, even considering that he is due more than $50 million fully guaranteed. And if they do eventually release him, would be more than $90 million in dead money, which they could split off into the next 2 years.
This is my question in the National Football League. And I've had this question for a while. And I would say that every single time I get proven that, you know what, teams just don't look at it the same way that I do. I understand the importance of having a quarterback, and you are essentially dead in the water if your team doesn't have a starting quarterback. But what we see happen every single time that one of these guys come up and need a new deal is teams just bend the knee and they just give them what the market says that they're worth. That I would say right now, there really doesn't appear to be that kind of solid middle tier for a guy like Tua. You either get paid like you were one of the 10 best players in the National Football League, or you're Justin Fields, who was a failed first-round pick somewhere else, and now a team gets you on the cheap on a two-year, $20 million deal. Man, every one of these quarterbacks that come up, they don't need to get $180, $200 million. Why would Atlanta give Kirk Cousins 4 years, $180 million? Why did Arizona give Kyler Murray five for 230? Why did Jacksonville give Trevor Lawrence five for 275, the Tua contract? I want to see one of these teams just say no when one of these deals comes up. I mean, the next one's probably going to be Bo Nix's contract. Maybe you would argue CJ Stroud's contract. Like, we're going to start to have these conversations again. How do you pay Bo Nix? Because it's one thing to deal with his deficiencies when he's a first-round pick, but you're getting him on that rookie deal. It's another thing to live with those deficiencies if you got to pay him like he's one of the top 10 players in the league, even though we know he's not one of those guys. This was so avoidable if you were Miami. It's not like people were applauding you like, man, it's a smart contract you gave Tua. We all kind of looked at you with question. 4 years, $212 million. Well, the deal is gone exactly how the rest of us thought the deal was going to go. And now you're sitting here and you got to deal with $99 million in dead cap last year because you just simply couldn't walk away from having an average quarterback.
This is why, and maybe, this is why this is semantics, but this is why I say, I think quarterback contracts are out of control. I think quarterbacks and their agents know the following. We kind of have the NFL where we want them. Because players like Tua and Trevor Lawrence and Kyler Murray and all those guys you mentioned are basically, you let me walk and I'll go make this money somewhere else, or I'll stay here and make this money because of scarcity at the position. And again, maybe this is semantics and we are saying the same thing differently, but until someone in the NFL says, nope, we're not paying that, they go somewhere else and they prove to be just who they are, then people say, look, the great decision by team blank. Until that day comes, this is going to continue to happen. Because right now, quarterbacks just have all the leverage. There's only 32 starters in the league. And of the 32, there's what? 12 that are great, and there's 20 that are playable. You kind of get stuck in no man's land, and all these quarterbacks know it, and they're able to leverage that to maximize their contract more so than any other position in the league.
Yeah, I would just say that we are kind of getting to the point where it is better for you to just draft and start over and then wait to pick up a former failed first-round pick and see if you have something. Like, the Dolphins would be in a much better situation if they had just gone in the direction of trying to get Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is on a three-year, $100 million deal, while Tua is on a four for 212 deal. Which one of these contracts would you rather have? It is better. You would be in a better position if you had tried to go get Baker Mayfield. If you got Tua Tagovailoa's deal is worth more than Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield's deal combined. Both of those guys are on a three-year, $100 million deal. So if you're trying to find maybe some kind of bargain basement value and you can get good quarterback play but save yourself some money to try to improve the rest of your roster, I mean, that's the way to be able to do it. And it's crazy because, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the Tua contract isn't even that big of a deal anymore compared to where we are. I mean, right now, 14 of the 32 quarterbacks in the league have a $200 million deal. So right now, I mean, you are spending at least $200 million on the position. You have a quarterback that you have no future with, or you have a rookie and you are preparing to give him a $2 million deal, $200 million. You're preparing to give that money to CJ Stroud. You're preparing to give that money to Drake May. You're preparing to do that with Bo Nix. Like, that's kind of where you are when it comes to these teams. I'm just going to be really curious when one of these quarterback contracts come up, there has to be a team that just says, no, we don't think this is the best way to build your roster.
And I think, and someone on the text line points out the Vikings last year with Darnold. kind of did this, except for the Vikings are a little bit unique in the fact that they had the heir apparent. Like, we haven't seen a team say no to quarterback when they didn't have a backup. We haven't seen the Cardinals say no to Kyler Murray and we're going to roll the dice. They were leveraged. The Vikings said no to Sam Darnold because J.J. McCarthy is on the roster. Now, we can disagree about what J.J. McCarthy is. That's fine. They had a replacement top 10 pick sitting there. Outside of Sam Darnold, which I've explained is a different situation, no NFL team has said, we'll go without. And to your point about, you know, the bottom of the barrel, you know, bargain shopping with Baker Mayfield types, I think GMs are scared to do that because it's tougher to find the right one. And when you miss, you miss. Like, I assume the Jets preseason felt like, hey, we're going to survive in advance for a year with Justin Fields. Maybe we found something. Maybe we found our Baker Mayfield. If we did, that's a bonanza. If we didn't, so it goes. But if you miss, most GMs get fired for missing on that play.
Yeah, but I would say it's a sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. You get fired because you gave Tua a bad contract. You get fired because you don't get the quarterback right. Like, it's not like if you moved on from Tua and you, like, so you're always walking that tightrope every single time. Someone just sent this in. C-Dot, but the Dolphins made that deal with the hope of winning a Super Bowl. If Miami wins a Super Bowl after the contract, are we having the same conversation? My brother, Tua has one playoff appearance and they got beat 26-7. They were never going to the Super Bowl. Let's not even have a Super Bowl conversation with Tua Tagovailoa. They didn't win a playoff game with this contract. They didn't win their division with this contract. It's not like this is a shock. I would understand if Houston signed C.J. Stroud to a big-time deal. Hey, we've made the playoffs three times with you with our quarterback. We won playoff games. We think that you are there. At what point watching Tua as the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins did you think it was in the Dolphins' best interest to pay him? And at what point in Tua's career did we think that there was another level for where he could potentially go? I mean, Tua has been in our lives now for 8 years, if we are counting in Alabama. It ain't like we don't know him or haven't seen him before. He's never thrown 30 touchdown passes in a game or in a season. He's never done this one time. He's taken his team to the playoffs one time, a game in which they had no chance of winning. So I hope you weren't signing that contract with the expectation that Tua was going to take you to a Super Bowl and turn into something that he wasn't. There's nothing in Tua's football history that would tell us that he was going to turn into somebody else after that money.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the texter's point. I'm not trying to run down the texter. You know, what if they had won the Super Bowl? But, yeah, I mean,
they haven't. You got to win a playoff game to go to win a Super Bowl.
I agree.
You got to win one.
That's a wild change in variables to what happened. They paid Tua. He didn't win any playoff games. He's now probably going to get cut. If we change all the variables, yes, the outcome would be different. For example, I bet we look differently at Trevor Lawrence's contract if he wins the Super Bowl this year. I don't think he is going to win the Super Bowl this year because he's been a roller coaster of up and down, really good, really bad. But he didn't win the Super Bowl. So why are we even discussing this hypothetical? Hypothetically, what if blank, blank, and blank happened? They didn't. So why discuss them?
Yeah, someone just sent in, I'd rather be fired for doing something than sitting on my hands. I think that's the mentality of the general managers. Man, I'm in the business of getting it right. That's what I'm in the business of. And given Tua 4 years, $212 million, it is impossible that you can be right. It's impossible. He is not the solution. We've known this. It's not like anything that's happened with Tua has come as a shock. It's not like Tua was that guy as a rookie, and then he signed the contract, and I'm like, wait, what happened? No. He was mid when you signed him to the deal. He's continued to be mid. He's just been fine. That's what he's been for this entire time. He just is fine now with generational wealth is what he is. Tua's not going to be a starter in the league next year. Next year, when they turn this thing over and teams are trying to figure out where they're going to do, Tua is not going to be a starter in the league next year. You gave a guy $212 million that another team doesn't deem worthy to start on their team. Tell me where you think Tua can start next year.
Oh, I think Tua starts next year.
Where?
I don't think it's a team that you think is good.
Where? If you had to guess, what team do you think he's a star? Because I'm just saying is, you already know he can't go somewhere cold.
Correct.
So just that limits where you could potentially go. The only team that makes sense to me is Arizona. And I don't know why you would get rid of Kyler Murray to then go get Tua. Why would you get worse at the position or a guy who has a lot of those same traits, again, but lesser versions of those traits? I don't think there's anywhere that makes sense for Tua next year.
I think the Rams. The Rams make sense to me. You have an elite offensive mind. You play in a dome. You play in L.A. I'm not saying it will work, but the Rams are not going to be bad enough to draft their quarterback, and Matt Stafford is 500 years old. He's playing great football, but, I mean, he played against Colt Brennan in college. Like, he's been in the NFL for a long time. Like, that's the kind of team that I think will target Tua in the offseason, and next year the Rams will go 10-7, and they'll be faced with a Tua decision, and they'll have to do the, like, they'll have to do the exact, I mean, the same dance. Do we give him the money, or do we move on?
That man, Sean McVay, got tired of Jared Goff. He got tired of Jared Goff. Tua does not fit what I think a Sean McVay quarterback is like in really any capacity. I would be stunned if you go from big arm, can make every single throw, Matthew Stafford, who might be the NFL MVP this year, to then taking Tua Tagovailoa next year. I would be stunned if that is the way that this story ends up finishing out. I do want to play this for you, Rob. You remember Joel Klatt? You were very angry at Joel Klatt a couple of days ago. He made you very mad, very frustrated. You know what? Joel Klatt, he admits that he was wrong in his opinion.
What I said on their show on Monday morning early was sloppy and worded wrong. And so it was kind of like I landed the plane, but it was in a cornfield. And so, like, we had to hit the eject, and it was, like, we kind of, like, the plane didn't crash necessarily. Here's the deal. I did not articulate what I wanted to articulate. Here's the take, okay? And rightly so, I've been jumped on online. And good. Like, that's great. I love it. But here's the take. The NCAA basketball tournament, if the objective was to crown the best basketball team of the college basketball season, then it's a bad format. And because of that, then it's not fair, is what I said. And I said, it's a joke. It's the dumbest. And that's obviously going to grab headlines. And again, that's stupid of me to use those terms. But the structure of the NCAA basketball tournament, its objective is entertainment. It's meant to be a gauntlet. So the point is, the best college basketball team for the year doesn't always win the NCAA basketball tournament. That tournament is set up to just crown its own champion. It's a made-for-TV entertainment event. And it's great. And by the way, I do love the NCAA basketball tournament. But if you're asking me, is it structured properly to crown the best team of the season? Then the answer is no.
You were very upset at Joel Klatt a couple of days ago. You yelled at him and thought his take was really bad. He now tries to clear it up a little bit. How do you feel about the apology from Joel Klatt?
I actually like the apology, not only because Joel Klatt admits he's wrong, which I feel like societally, to get on my soapbox for 2 seconds here, societally, people don't do that enough. Hey, my bad, I was wrong. Needs to be something we say more often. I think we'll be a happier world if people just take onus when they are wrong. I digress. I like it for that reason. And two, now that he has framed it properly, I do agree with him. I don't think March Madness is the best way to determine a champion, but it is the best entertainment value that gives everyone a fair shot, and we all love it for that reason. College football seems to be stuck in no man's land right now. They seem to be, A, trying to be the diet version of the NFL, which most college football fans don't actually want that. They don't want a minor league NFL. They want college football. But college football is simultaneously trying to do the things that make it great and make college sports great, but they're not doing those things well enough, and all the power brokers are saying that's a bad format too. So now that Joel Klatt has cleaned up his, quote, sloppy take, I think he's right here. But college football needs to figure out what it is. If it is the diet NFL, you're probably going to lose some fans because that's not what college fans like, but what you're doing and cutting out the JMUs and stuff, that's the path. Or are you going to be what college basketball is? And college basketball leans heavy into what its fans like. They like that any given night, crazy things can happen. The ball bounces just right. And you might have a plumber from Wichita against Julius Randle. And on one given night, something spectacular can happen. And it's television gold, and we all love it, and we're in, you know, we're in, all engrossed in it for 3 weeks. If you're going to do that, do that. But college football is stuck in this weird in-between where I don't think they know what they are.
This is where I'll defend the take just a little bit. I think some of it is a volume argument. Just much more teams make the college basketball tournament than make the football tournament. So that's just going to eliminate a lot of it anyway. Just we just let more people into it. I also think we have a pretty easy to follow formula in college basketball to determine the tournament that you don't have to be a rocket scientist or you don't need to be Joe Lunardi to be able to figure it out. We kind of know what five seeds look like in the NCAA tournament. We know what one seeds look like and two seeds. Like, sure, maybe a team gets underseeded, but we don't really have a scenario in which we think the KU is going to be a two seed and then they get seeded as a seven seed. Like, we got a pretty good idea of where you get pitched. I think right now a major problem with college football is we don't really know what the criteria is to make the postseason. And everything else that we have, we know the criteria. I can tell you what you need to do as a baseball team to make it. I can tell you what you need to do as an NFL team to be able to make the postseason. NBA, you pick your sport. It's not that hard to be able to figure out. You cannot tell me the qualifications to be an at-large team in the college football playoff. I have absolutely no clue. Because I think Notre Dame did enough, but then they didn't get picked. I think that this team did something. You're telling me that doesn't work, but then this team got in for the same reason. That's the thing that I think complicates things. It's easy to understand how we get the bracket of 68. I don't think we really have an idea of how we find the 12 teams that make the college football playoff, hence the arguments that we have.
I also think, and I was someone who I will admit now I was wrong with the advantage of hindsight. I thought when they had this problem last year, it was because, oh, we just haven't had enough, you know, we haven't had enough college football playoffs to know what criteria is. I'm sure when the field first expanded to 64, people were like, what do you mean? What's an 11 seed? What's an 11 seed look like? What do we know about their resume? Now we all know. But I think the biggest problem college football has is not just criteria. It's they seem to make up the rules as they go. And we've talked about this a lot on the show. I agree with you. Notre Dame, based on the criteria we had from last season, should have made the postseason this season. Alabama, based on the criteria had from last season, shouldn't have made the postseason this season. And yet, they did, and Notre Dame didn't. So, like, I don't think this is just a, oh, we haven't seen enough college football playoffs to kind of understand what their criteria and grading curve is. I think they're making it up year by year by year. And I wish, I have no idea who's on the NCAA selection committee. Maybe it's a different group of people every year. I don't know. But I know this, I know who's on the college football playoff committee, and the fact it changes and has huge turnover year by year, I think is creating a criteria problem, to your point.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Danny Parkins is going to join us on the show. We'll figure out what was wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs this year and also get his thoughts on the rest of the AFC. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Sports 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Danny Parkins of FS1. So I want to play this for you. This is RG3. You guys remember him, former Heisman Trophy winner, was a top three pick in the draft. I think he was number two, got drafted by Washington. He is a quarterback who tore his ACL. Now, I know that RG3 has become polarizing in some sense, but I'm inclined to listen to a former quarterback that tore his ACL when he offers up an opinion on it. Here is what RG3 had to say about Patrick Mahomes and also Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, the number one advice I would give to Micah Parsons and Patrick Mahomes right now is to not play next year. And it's because of when they got hurt. They both got hurt in December. You know, you look at these injuries and we've seen guys come back in 6 months. You know, 8 months, 9 months, and it would be 9 months for both of them if they were ready to go week one. But you don't really feel like yourself until about 15 months after the injury. Mm. And some guys will even tell you, hey, it took me 24 months to truly feel like myself again. And don't get me wrong, 80% of Micah Parsons is better than dang near almost every pass rusher in the NFL. 80% of Patrick Mahomes is better than almost every quarterback in the NFL. But I look at it from a standpoint because of my own experience, and these guys aren't me, but I tore my ACL and my LCL, the same injury that Patrick Mahomes has right now. I wouldn't have played in 2013 if hindsight, which it is 2020, I wouldn't have played the following year because I wasn't back to myself yet.
That was RG3 talking about the injury to Patrick Mahomes and also Micah Parsons. I've seen a lot of people kind of mad at this opinion from RG3. I don't really know how you can be mad at him for that opinion. I mean, he is a former NFL quarterback that went through the exact same injury. And I'm just guessing, based on things I've heard RG3 say in the past, man, coming back early from that, he thinks changed the course of his career. I mean, RG3 was a dynamic player. He was never really the same after the injury. I do think there is obviously some truth to what he is saying. I don't know if you can have that substantial of a knee injury and then in less than a year, you just instantly go back to being the exact same person. I think some of it's physically. I think also think some of it's mentally too. You play football for a living. It's not like you tear your ACL and now it's just, all right, well, when can I walk? When can I walk without pain? When can I walk without a brace? Like, You're not doing regular, normal, everyday stuff. We're talking about you get hit on your knee. You got to cut and run and jump and move and do all of those things on your knee. So some of it is just physically getting it back to where it needs to be. I also think there's a mental part of this that I'm not sure if we're factoring in that I think RG3 can at least speak to the understanding of. I don't think mentally he was ever the same quarterback after that injury. I think he was different, very, very different afterwards. Now, I think he makes a good point. I'm not Pat. They aren't me. I'm not Micah Parsons, so I can't speak for their situation. But I guess, Rob, I can't sit here and tell RG3 that he is wrong in this assessment because he is actually one of the few people that can speak to this, I think, from a very, very place of knowledge.
And I think the point RG3 made there, and it's a point that none of us out who are listening, unless Patrick Mahomes is listening, can answer. How is his body going to feel playing high level anything again once he does return from surgery? If it's, you know, man, he's 100%, he passed the test, he's back from rehab, but he feels a little, you know, he doesn't trust it or feels a little off or whatever it is. Cause he said, yes, the rehab process, you're back in 8 to 10 months, but some guys don't feel 100% until more like 16, 18 months, 24 months. We don't know how Patrick Mahomes is going to feel post-surgery and back on a football field and all those things until it's time for him to feel that. So it's hard to disagree with Robert Griffin III because what he's saying is all about individual people's feel. So I think he's right, but I also, he could be wrong because what Patrick Mahomes feels at 9 months after surgery could be wildly different than what RG3 felt. Like, there are outliers in both categories. Adrian Peterson came back in 4.5 months. I'm sure he felt fine in 4.5 months. I just don't know how Patrick Mahomes is going
to
feel.
Yeah, for sure. And someone makes the point, C-Dot, you have to factor in that RG3 was a running quarterback. I mean, I'm not calling Patrick Mahomes a running quarterback. That's not what he is. But I think we would all agree that mobility is very much in the center of what makes Patrick Mahomes such a dynamic player. Rob, we don't talk about this enough. I mean, Patrick has had at least 60 rush attempts in six of the last 7 years. Pat definitely takes off and scrambles, and we also know that in the backfield, he's moving around and doing these things to buy that little bit of extra time that you would need to make the throw down the field. So, yes, he is a very different kind of quarterback than RG3, but he's also not – this isn't Joe Flacco or Peyton Manning that – athleticism and mobility was not fundamental to who they are. If Pat is coming back and now we're talking about he goes from a quarterback who rush attempts have always been pretty consistent, and now Pat has taken off 10 to 15 times, and I know that's an extreme example, then that's not the Patrick Mahomes that's been playing quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I also think that's something to be mindful of. I've told you guys, I think that Patrick Mahomes is probably coming back in October. And I will say, I mean, if the plan is to get him back for week one, that's a very optimistic plan, in my opinion, for a guy that tore his ACL and LCL. That's just a very, very optimistic and very, very aggressive plan, I think, to get him back when I don't think the plan needs to be aggressive in getting him back on the field.
I think – I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this. I think it is one thing to have the belief Patrick Mahomes can be ready for week one. Like, if you are Brett Veach, Andy Reid, whoever the offensive coordinator is going to be, whoever the quarterback coach is going to be, if you are hearing from Patrick Mahomes, hey, I'm working my tail off every day, I'm going to be ready for week one, that's fine. That's fine for him to say that, fine for him to work to that, whatever. I don't think the Chiefs should be planning on that. Now, that means they re-sign Gardner Minshew because he plays a good last three games this season. Cool. But you can't go into next season with it being Patrick Mahomes and Chris Oladokun are your quarterbacks. You need to prep. You need to have conversations where Patrick Mahomes is not in the room and act as if let's deal with the situation as if he's not ready for week one. We want him ready for week one because Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But we have to prepare and plan for a situation where he's not ready. That's the job of the general manager. And if in 2 months when he's at the combine, he does his, you know, media session there, if they say, hey, what's the situation with Patrick Mahomes? And he says, our plan is going to be ready week one. We're not signing anyone. It's Patrick Mahomes. That's a bad plan. You have to have a contingency, I guess, is the best way I think the Chiefs should operate this offseason.
Yeah, I think you and I maybe feel the same way about this. Is I think that November 1st should be their target date and not September 1st. And if he beats the November 1st, great.
I would say week six. So like you pup him and then you, so maybe that's November 1st. Maybe it's like October 13th. We're in the same ballpark. I'd say when everyone reports to St. Joe and you get that tweet, it's like, hey, here's how everyone deals with injury. You get an alert. Patrick Mahomes on PUP. That's how I would handle it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I say, I mean, you and I are probably in the same ballpark. I would just set a mental date around November 1st. And if he comes back on October 2nd, great. If he comes back on November 12th, then great. That just ends up being the case. But I think we all just know. I mean, just based on, I think, based on the timeline I think Pat is going to have for himself, I think he is going to do everything this offseason to try to make sure that he doesn't miss anything important for the team. And maybe he ends up accomplishing that goal. But I do think in listening to RG3, and we got to try to get him on the show at some point between now and kind of when things, I guess, turn over completely for the Chiefs when it gets to the offseason, I'd love to learn more about this. I just don't think that there's too many players in the league that can speak directly to dealing with this injury and what this injury meant for them. Now, again, very different kind of quarterbacks. Man, RG3's career was never the same after this injury. He was a shell of himself after that. Some of it was physical. Some of it, I think, was mental with RG3. But he definitely can attest to what this injury means for you mentally and what it means for your body. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're joined by Danny Parkins of FS1 and Fox. First Things First, that's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.